as we continue to talk about faith. Talk about faith for some time now. Here in a series of sermons entitled Faith According to James, where we learned quite a bit about faith. And one of those things is that it has three parts, three aspects to it. There's the belief, there's the trust, and then there's the commitment to genuine saving faith. And then we started a series entitled Examples of Those Who Lived by Faith. And we've been looking at a man named Elijah who demonstrated genuine faith by putting it to practice. He confronted the most evil king of Israel, and he challenged him. He told King Ahab, "It's not going to rain until I say so." That's a pretty bold statement. And you know, when you think about that, of course, this wasn't something that he just came up with because, you know, he was Elijah, because he was somebody that he was in control of the weather. No, it was because God had instructed him to tell King Ahab that. And but that takes a lot of faith, you know. I mean, that takes a genuine faith, a faith that not only believes in God, but a faith that trusts God and a faith that's committed to God. And so we know that it didn't rain for 3.5 years. He was also told to go down to a brook named Cherith, where God would send the ravens, or we call them buzzards, the vultures, to feed him every day. And he could drink from the brook. And Elijah did what God told him to do, no matter how unreasonable it might seem. And we know that a lot of times God asks us to do things that seem unreasonable and impossible. But reminded that the Bible tells us with God, nothing is impossible. And so Elijah was faithful. He believed, he trusted, and was committed to God. And so he went down to the brook, and the ravens fed him every day. When the brook dried up, God said, "Go to Zarephath, where a widow woman will feed you." And so he got up and went to Zarephath, and there again found the widow woman that God had sent him to. She was getting ready to prepare the last meal for her and her son with the very last bit of food that they had. And they would eat that last meal and starve to death. And he said, "Fix me a meal first. And I promise you, God will never let the meal run out, never let the oil run out. There'll always be food." And she believed and trusted, and so she did what Elijah had asked her to do. She fixed him a meal, and her meal never ran out, and neither did oil. Elijah then would challenge King Ahab's prophets of Baal to call fire down from heaven. And you know how that wound up. They called and pled and begged and cut themselves and did all kinds of things, calling out to Baal to send fire down, and there was no fire. Then Elijah prepared the altar and prepared the sacrifice on the altar. He dug a trench around it and filled it full of water and saturated the sacrifice, the wood, and everything. And then he called on God, and God sent fire down. What a great demonstration of faith again, you know, to tell that group of men, 450 prophets of Baal, you know, "Y'all call fire down, call on your God, and if he don't answer, I'll call on the true God, and he will answer." And he did. And so we saw there, as Elijah was faithful to do what God had called him to do. And he said originally to Ahab, "It's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain." 3.5 years later, it rained. This morning I want to talk to you about a man that had never seen rain, but He believed, he trusted, and was committed to God. His name is Noah. We read about him right there in the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis. And we see where Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was committed to God and was obedient to do everything that God asked him to do. And even though a lot of it seems ridiculous, and you think, well, what has that got to do with us? Well, how many times are we, does God led us to do things, and we try to rationalize them, and we try to figure out how we're going to accomplish that, and we don't see any way that we can accomplish that, and so we don't ever step out on faith and do it. This is there's a sad commentary that churches, so many churches don't do anything by faith. You know, if we don't have all the resources in place, we don't start a new program, we don't start a new building, we don't do anything unless we got everything in place and we can see how it's all going to work out. There's no faith in that. That's what we call walking by sight. And the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. And so we're not going to see anything marvelous and miraculous happen until we stop looking at our abilities and we start thinking about God's abilities and what God wants to do. And when we will start listening to God and start stepping out on faith and doing what God's called us to do, even when we don't know where the resources are coming from, when God leads us to it, we just need to do it. And that's what Noah did here in Genesis chapter 6. We're going to start there in chapter 6 and read, begin verse number 5, and see if we can see anything that resembles anything that we experience today. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Could that not be written in the current events today? When you look around and you see the things that are happening in this world and all the ungodly things and that are going on, being promoted, can we not relate to what was going on in Genesis here, where God looked and he said that every imagination of the thoughts of the hearts of men was evil continually? That's where we're living at, is in a time when it seems everything's evil. Fortunately, there are a few still around that are standing on God's promises and living by faith, but by and large, we live in an evil society, in a devil-run society. And that's where they were at in Genesis. And verse 6 it says, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." And I got an idea that God's grieved today when he looks down upon mankind and he sees the things that are going on, and he sees the things that we are tolerating, the things that are being promoted in this world that we live in now. And I have no doubt in my mind that he is grieved at his heart because of the things that are happening. "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." So we find here that the earth was filled with wickedness to start with. That's where we are today. This earth is filled with wickedness, and so God decided to destroy life that was on the earth. Now, he's promised to us, and a little later on we can see that, where he's promised not to destroy the earth like that again. But it will be destroyed by fire one day. But that does not excuse the evil that we're experiencing now. And we're glad for those like Noah who find grace in the eyes of the Lord. How do we find grace in the eyes of the Lord? When we're obedient to Him, when we're living faithfully to do what He calls us to do. We're obedient, we believe, we trust Him, and we're committed to Him. And Noah was that man that was a man of faith. He believed God. He trusted God, and he was committed to God. We know that because of his actions. And that's how people will see it in us. If they will know that we are men or women of faith if they see it in the things that we do. And we see it here in Noah's life. And so, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, verse number 8. And these are generations of Noah, and it talks about Noah's children. And then, in verse 13, God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch." Now, God told Noah to build an ark. Well, remember, Noah has never seen rain. You don't know what rain is. As a matter of fact, back up in Genesis, back over in chapter 2, verse 4 through 6, the Bible said these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. And there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And so, before this time, there was only the dew that came, and then the water from the rivers that would water things. And so, but it's never rained. There's no account of rain when God tells Noah that it's going to start raining and there's going to be a flood. And so he tells him to build an ark. An ark. And then he gives him the instructions. He gives him the measurements. This ark is to be 450 feet long. It's to be 45 feet wide and 45 feet tall. There in verse number 15, it says, "This is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, which is 450 feet. The breadth of it, the width of it is 75 feet wide, and the height of it is 30 cubits or 45 feet high." And he tells him exactly how to build it, where to put the window and the door, and gives him instructions on how to do that. And so Noah got busy. He got busy building the ark. Although he'd never seen any reason for certainly a boat this size. Those of you who have been fortunate enough to go out and see the ark, that's a replica of this Noah's ark, which I've not had the opportunity to do yet, but hopefully one day, if the Lord tarries, I'll experience that. But everyone I've heard talk about that talks about what an amazing sight it is and how it brings to reality things. You know, when we talk about something that's 450 feet long and 75 feet wide and 45 feet tall, you know, it just, our mind don't really comprehend it. Reminds me of back several years ago, we had a lady in church where I pastored before who built a replica of Goliath. You know, we talk about little David and Goliath, little David slaying Goliath, and she built a replica, a life-size replica of Goliath. And that was an eye-opening experience because, you know, just thinking, well, he's 9 foot 9 inches tall. And, you know, you think about that. But when you actually see something, then it imprints upon your mind a little bit better. And so for those who have had the privilege of going out and seeing the ark, what an amazing thing. And a lot of great lessons to be learned by actually experiencing that. Well, Noah, he began to go to work. Well, I'm sure he called the local lumber supply and started giving him a list of material that he needed to build this ark. No, he didn't. There was none. You know, he did things very primitively because he didn't have the modern conveniences that we have now. Can you imagine building an ark that's 450 feet long and 75 feet wide and 45 feet tall, has three stories, building this when you don't have the tools that you have now? Most of us can't imagine building it with the tools that we have now. But he didn't have all those tools, but he had God. He was faithful. He believed that God would do and see him through as long as he would be obedient to what God had called him to do. And so he began to build on this ark. Now, he didn't build it overnight. Can you imagine how long it must have taken? We're not exactly sure exactly how long that it took him, but probably at least around 100 years it took him to build this ark. You know, a lot of time went by. And can you imagine what was going on when this was happening, and people would come by and they'd see Noah and he's working on this thing, and they're trying to figure out what in the world is this. And so I can imagine them asking him, Noah, what are you doing? And he said, oh, I'm building an ark. It's going to flood. And God told me to build this ark. And so, you know, you need to be ready. Because there's coming a flood, and it's going to flood the earth, and the only people going to survive, nothing's going to survive except what's on this ark. And people said, man, he needs to be in Chattahoochee. You know, he needs to be in a crazy house somewhere. Noah has lost his mind. I can imagine that people were even scared to hang around him because he was so ridiculous, you know. That's just don't make sense. He's building this big boat, and he's been working on it for years and years now. And he's still working on it, not complete. And it's taking shape now. But what in the world is he going to do with it? You know, it's sitting out there, and he's saying it's going to flood, and that thing's going to float. There ain't no way it's going to float. But Noah was not discouraged by all the negatives. You know, we are always able to get plenty of good advice about how ridiculous what God's called us to do may sound. You know, that don't even make sense. You sure you want to do that? You know, I can remember getting some pretty good advice when the Lord led us in full-time ministry, and when I left Gulf Power Company, my employment there, to go full-time pastoring with no retirement and no other, well, they did continue to pay their share of my medical insurance, which was a great benefit, but I had a lot of people that gave me some really good advice. Mike, you got a good job. That's one of the best paying jobs around here. And you're going to just quit and walk away from that? Is the church going to pay you that much? And I said, don't matter what the church pays. It matters what God said. And God said, do it. And so that's what we're going to do, you know. And God has provided in ways that we could not even imagine, not through the church salary necessarily. God's blessed in that way, but God has provided and blessed in so many ways that we would have missed out on if we hadn't been obedient. You know, I've thought about it a lot of times. I could still be working with Gulf Power Company. Well, I couldn't be working with Gulf Power Company. I'd be Florida Power and Light Company now, since Gulf Power is no longer. But, you know, I could still be there, still making those big bucks. But you know what? Those big bucks probably wouldn't go very far, because I'd be disobedient to God. And God don't bless disobedience. And so God has really blessed, and I'm thankful for that. But I had a lot of negative advice because it didn't make sense that a man would quit a job making really good money with really good benefits to go full-time pastoring, you know. But that was what God called me to do. And so that's what I did. And God has blessed it. Noah, God told Noah to build an ark. He said it's going to flood. And a lot of people said, Noah, you're crazy. You know what you're talking about. What is a flood? Rain? What's rain? You know? Where's all that water coming from? But Noah kept on. He kept on working and building, and he built the ark. Because this flood that God's going to send will destroy all flesh. But God will spare Noah and his family, and male and female of every species of the fowl of the air and the cattle of the fields and the creeping things. Sometimes I think it'd been a good idea if he'd left off the creeping things, but you know, those all have a purpose. And so God created them for a purpose. God didn't make any mistakes. And so no matter how much I don't like those creeping things, they're God's creations. And so, you know, he had a purpose for them. And so the only ones that would survive would be Noah and his family, his wife and his three sons and their three wives, 8 people that would survive. And those were the only humans that would survive. And then male and female from every species, so that after the flood, they would be able to replenish the earth. And so God told him, you know, to do, you know, build this ark and then gather all these animals in. Well, there again, that seems kind of ridiculous, don't it? Can you imagine trying to get out and bring in a pair of every animal that there is? You know, you got to catch all them birds, right? Birds are kind of hard to catch sometimes. You got to catch all those lions and tigers and everything, every species of animal that was alive, including all those creepy things. You got to catch a male and female and get them in this ark. Well, that's kind of impossible, isn't it? With man, it's impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. And so Noah is obedient. He does what God tells him to do. He's built the ark now. And now he gathers all those animals in. And I can just imagine how God worked all that out. And how those animals showed up, you know, came up and ready to get on the ark. Unlike people. You know, the people were telling Noah how crazy he was and how he'd lost his mind and all that. But Noah got all the animals and he got them in the ark. And we find there in verse number 18 of chapter 6, yes. But thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of the flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come into the unto thee to keep them alive. And notice it said, two of every sort shall come unto thee. So that means they're going to come to Noah. And he says, and take thou unto thee all of the food that's eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. And thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. What a great statement for any of us. The statement that we would all like to have written about us. That everything that God told him or her to do, they did. Wouldn't that be great if you could be that person that that was written about? You know? To be obedient, to do exactly what God says to do. And so, Noah did it. He was obedient. Why was he obedient? Because he had faith in God, because he believed God, he trusted God, and he was committed to God. And so, after Noah got his family and all the animals in the ark, God shut the door. That's found in chapter 7, verse number 16. And they that went in, male and female of all flesh, and God had, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. You see, God shut the door. Noah didn't shut the door to the ark. God shut the door to the ark. And we might think about, well, why did God shut the door then? And then, as we think about that, and thinking about a man of Noah's faith, a man who loved God like Noah loved God, and I'm sure Noah has been preaching to all those people for these 100 years or so while he's been building the ark, and he's been trying to tell them it's going to come a flood, and God will save you, but you're going to be on the ark for God to save you. And those people thought he was crazy. And so once the waters start up, think about this for a minute now. We got people that are going to be clinging to the side of the ark. And they're going to be calling out, Noah, Noah, we thought you were crazy, but save us. Help us. Open the door. Let us in. And Noah, being a man of God, and loving people because he loved God, would have probably done all he could to get them on the ark. But God had shut the door. You see, there's coming a time when God's going to shut the door to that person who is a non-believer. The Bible says that he'll not always strive with man. So there's coming a time that God will give a man, a woman, a child, a last opportunity to trust him, to be a Savior and Lord. And after that, then there's no hope. God had shut the door of the ark. He had given all those people the last opportunity. They had rejected him. They'd turned away from him. They'd ridiculed his man, Noah, and ridiculed him. And the door was shut. Their last opportunity was passed. And so God shut the door. We need to be busy telling people about Jesus Christ, because one day the door is going to be shut for that individual. One day that individual is going to have the Spirit drawing them the last time, and the Holy Spirit's no longer going to draw them, but they're going to be turned away and go into eternity separated from God. Here, Noah had begged and pled with these people, but they all rejected him. thought he was crazy. A lot of people think we're crazy. But I'm telling you, we're not. Some of us may well act a little weird sometimes, but you know, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, don't matter how foolish that sounds to the world, that's the only way that you're going to get out of this world alive. And so you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And you also need to be sharing it with others and letting everyone else know and have the opportunity to accept that gift of salvation. Let everyone else have that opportunity for life as they would have had on this ark, but they had turned against God and they had rebelled against God for the last time. God shut the door. There was no other opportunity. And then the floods came and it rained and rained, and God released the water, and it began to flood, and then this big, huge ark that Noah had been building, the waters came up, and then it began to float, and it floated, and the earth flooded until the mountaintops were underwater. I just spent last week, Renee and myself did, up in the mountains, and I'll tell you, some of the mountains were tall. It take a lot of water to fill up some of those valleys, get up top of those mountains. And you think, man, that's a lot of water. But you know what? God made it all. He can make more of it if He wants to. And there was enough water to flood the earth. And there were no mountaintops that were tall enough not to be covered. And so all the mountains were covered with water. That's an awesome thing. But we serve an awesome God who is able to do all things. Nothing is impossible with God. And so we see that the floods came. It covered the whole earth. It covered the mountains, even the mountaintops. There in verse number 17 of chapter number 7. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth. The waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. Nothing was uncovered. So all the mountains were covered. They were underwater. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. Verse 20. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both the fowl and the cattle and the beast, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both men and cattle and creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. The earth flooded. How ridiculous did that sound from the start? You know, Noah, God spoke to Noah and He said, I want you to build me an ark. And here's the measurements. Because it's going to rain, and the earth's going to be flooded, and the only thing that's going to survive is going to be on the ark. Noah never seen rain, but he was obedient to do what God told him to do. Noah was a man of faith, a man who believed God, a man who trusted God, and a man who was committed to doing what God had called him to do. And God did exactly what He said He was going to do. We still serve the same God today. He hadn't changed, you know. We hear these explanations time to time. I hear them quite a bit. Well, you know, that was back then. But this is now, you know. God hadn't changed. The same things that we're seeing back then are still seeing today. The same things that will cause you problems then will cause you problems today. The same God that was God back then is God today. And there's still nothing impossible with God. Whatever God calls you to do, He will do what He promises. All we need to do is be the Noah or the Elijah. Be obedient. We need to believe Him. We need to trust Him. We need to commit ourselves to Him. He will never, ever fail you. He'll never let you down. He'll never tell you a mistruth. He will always do what He said He will do. So when God calls us to do something, we just need to do it. But I can tell you from experience, God will bless above and beyond what you can imagine. You'll just be obedient to Him. We walk by faith and not by sight. Let's live our lives in such a way that people will know when they look at us, they'll say, there's a man, there's a woman that walks by faith. They live the faith that they proclaim in God. They're obedient. They're committed to what God calls them to do. And God blesses them. Father, we love You. We thank You so much. Thank You for the many, many, many lessons and examples that we have. God, thank You that although many people would try to explain this away and just say it's just a good story, we know that it is absolutely true. It is Your word. And there is no doubt of that. Lord, help us to realize that although we may not be called, and we probably won't be called to make decisions that are as drastic as the decision that Noah was called upon to make, but we will be called upon to make decisions to follow You. And many times it will be things that will not make sense to human man, but it's Your will and it's Your work, and we need to be obedient to it and do what You call us to do and watch You work in ways that only You can. Lord, help us to be obedient when those opportunities come. Lord, to just step out on faith to do what You've called us to do. We love You and thank You, Lord. Pray now that if there's one here who's never trusted You as Savior, glad You've come, Lord, of their lives. I pray that today would be the day of salvation for that person. If there are other decisions that need to be made, God, I pray that the Holy Spirit directs and leads, that people will make those decisions and choices right now. And we'll thank You for all of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me for a moment. Music playing. Where do you stand? Your relationship with Christ? Do you really believe the Bible's true? You believe God can and will do these things that seem impossible to man? You believe He'll do it in your life? You believe He has something for you to do? And that He will protect you and provide for you and bless you as you do what He calls you to do? Maybe there's one who's never trusted Jesus as your Savior. If there is, today is the best time of your life to trust Him. Believe that He is God. Believe that He loves you enough He gave His only begotten Son. Trust Him to save you. commit your life to Him this morning. Anyone before we close.